Thank you, Ms. Terry.
The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. We are here this morning for a very special presentation. Miguel Casas from Sheepdog Initiative is going to give us a presentation this morning talking about the ministry that they have, and part of that presentation will include the information he has regarding human trafficking, and it's something very important for us to be aware of. I will tell you ahead of time that some of this will be disturbing, and that's part of the reason that we asked the young ones to leave. Some of this will be disturbing. I want you to be aware of that ahead of time, but it's important for us to understand these things. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to open us in prayer. We'll have some silent prayer. I will open us in prayer, and then I will have a message, a brief message, and then I will introduce Miguel for his presentation. So let's take a moment for silent prayer. This is not a presentation directly of a Bible class or anything, but this is a presentation that's going to come from a faith perspective, and so I want us all to have our hearts prepared. Shall we pray? Most gracious and merciful and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to gather here at the church to receive this presentation from Miguel that's going to bless us all. I pray that each and every one of us will pay attention to what we see this morning, that we will understand the nature of the things that are taking place in the world around us, and that we will be prayerful with regard to these things, and we will ask God to reveal to us how we might be able to assist in the prevention of these sorts of things. So, Father, we just ask that you would help us to pay attention to what we hear today and that we learn from it. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Before I introduce him, I want to make a quick statement. So, last Sunday, I made some remarks at the beginning of the class, and I was doing so in order to address an issue that I saw coming up in the church. But what I will tell you is that I did not handle that situation appropriately. In hindsight, it was done the wrong way. And in the process, I know some people were upset by that. I will tell you that I, from the bottom of my heart, I apologize. And I ask for your forgiveness. The issue that I was talking about is an important issue, but the way that I handled it was inappropriate. Your pastor's not perfect. Your pastor can make mistakes. And so the way I handled that was inappropriate, and I deeply and sincerely apologize to anyone whom I might have offended with that message. Having done that, it is my blessing and my honor to present to you Miguel Casas of Sheepdog Initiative. This is an important ministry. We support this ministry, by the way, as a local church. I'm thankful that Miguel has taken the time to come today and to present this material to us today. He is not someone who's unfamiliar with our church. He has come to this church numerous times.
Yeah.
And been here to hear the classes taught at our local church, so he's familiar with this local church. I respect Miguel and love him as a brother in Christ, and so I pray that he will bless us today with this message.
Thank you. Again, it is truly our blessing to be here today, so we really appreciate it. Pastor, how do I click play on this?
What do you want to do? So you just do on the far left from the beginning. Yeah.
Over here?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So my name is Miguel, and I run a ministry called Sheepdog Initiative. I'm just going to give you a brief introduction about what Sheepdog Initiative is so that you have a precursor to what it is that we actually do. Sheepdog Initiative is a faith-based profit for ministry self-defense training school. Okay? So how do we do that? Well, we have a goal and a mission. Our goal is to positively change the image of gun ownership. What does that mean? We want to raise the bar, so to speak, about gun ownership. We are no longer a bunch of people in the backwoods shooting at old refrigerators with Uncle Billy Joe Bob. We're not going to do that, right? What we do is we raise our standards to the point that actually will make our students better than maybe 80% of the people that carry a firearm for a living. That's how high we are going to carry that bar. That's our goal. Our mission is different, okay? So you're going to see some footage right now. And by the way, before I continue, I do want to tell you that when I asked God what he wanted me to do with this ministry, And he showed me this. I went through a very deep rabbit hole of depression, okay, because of what I found out. These things that are happening right now, and they're happening in your backyards, okay? So during this time, you know, I've been blessed with certain skills and certain trainings throughout my life that make me somebody who, if I decided at that point in time, and I was literally on the edge at that point of deciding to do something about it myself without consulting anyone. And by that, I mean my trigger finger was pretty itchy. All right, it was very itchy. But in Matthew 24, it says, in the end days, which, by the way, I believe we're in. That's just me. But in the end days, people's love will grow cold. But those who endure will be saved. That love that Jesus is talking about is agape. It is a love that transcends even people who are completely engulfed in evil. So I had to realize, if I went out and I started killing these people and rescuing the other people myself, I would be no different from the evil. None, right? So God directed me, and what you're going to see today is the culmination of it. Okay? What you're looking at right now is hidden camera footage of women that were abducted when they were babies. I'm going to say that again. Abducted when they were babies. Okay? And throughout their life, they were trafficked for sex. It's hidden camera footage, okay? This is a joint operation between United States operatives and local law enforcement in other countries around the world. Every single girl that you see here being groomed or whatnot, I'm sorry, there's a lag. All of these girls, they are all being trafficked for sex. All of them, okay? Abducted when they were babies. This is a buy, an actual purchase between law enforcement from the United States and this is hidden camera footage as well. This is a joint operation of a raid on that house where they rescued 400 children that were being trafficked, okay? This is in Thailand, right? Again, another place being trafficked. This is back in Haiti. That's one of the rescuers. These children that you're seeing here, that boy and girl, were both belonging to an orphanage that was posing as an orphanage, as a Catholic orphanage. They were selling the children, okay, for sex. So they were purchased by this man. You can hardly see him. He's over here. His name is Tim Ballard. He started what's called Operation Underground Railroad. We're going to look at some of his statistics today. Tim Ballard is formerly Homeland Security. His friend, who is a missionary in Haiti, called him and said, Tim, Gardy's gone. Gardy's his son, his friend's son. Tim was like, what are you talking about? Gardy was taken. Taken? What are you talking about? He was taken by a bunch of people in the back, and we can't find him, and we believe that he's now being trafficked for sex somewhere in this town in Haiti. So Tim basically took a couple of weeks off, and some of his friends took a couple of weeks off, and they went over there. They rescued the 400 children, that house you saw in Haiti, right? Put them in orphanages, grabbed those guys, made the arrests with local law enforcement. They never found Gardy. To this day, they haven't found Gardy. But they credit Gardy with Operation Underground Railroad. Here's why. 2 weeks later, Tim was in Washington having lunch with the president and a whole bunch of people celebrating what they did. And they got a call from his friend. And they said, all those children are back in the house. And every single one of the traffickers has been released. I grew up in a third world country. I knew that was going to happen. Right? Money talks. Right? So, they worship money. Tim went to his boss and said, look, we got to go back. We got to go back. We got to rescue these children. You know what his boss said? You are Homeland Security. You cannot be going into international waters to rescue these children. You know what Tim did? He quit. Right there, he quit. He said, I've been doing this. I've been rescuing children for Homeland Security for 15 years. I forget the number. He says, this is the only way for me to put my pieces back together. So I'm done. And he started Operation Underground Railroad, right? So our mission is we are dedicated to fighting human trafficking and ending it during our lifetime. It's a tall order, but how many of you know that there's no limits on God, right? Yeah, we're going to end it during our lifetime. Who was it that said, one of our founding fathers, who was it that said, let it be during my time, not my children's time, if war is to come? It's the same deal. We're not going to allow it. Right? That's our mission. right? We are working on becoming a nonprofit. We're working on our 501c3. That's why we have shirts and hats for sale. That's why we have a love offering jar. In order for me to make these presentations happen, it takes a lot of time. I'm a media guy, right? I surrendered my media company to Sheepdog Initiative. I literally left my office on Main Street to let Sheepdog Initiative come up. Why? Because even John the Baptist said, I must decrease so he might increase. It's the same deal, right? But in order for me to make this with my media skills, it also takes a lot of time, right? So obviously we have expenses, right? So that's who we are. That's our mission. Sheepdog is taken from a book called On Combat. That's why there's a sheepdog. I use my nifty laser right there. The reason for the sheepdog, it's taken from a book called On Combat. It was written by Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. In it, he postulated there are three kinds of people. The first kind of person is the sheep. The sheep is defined as people who are incapable of using violence in self-defense. The problem in the world today is there's a lot of derogatory remarks about the sheep. If you're incapable of using violence in self-defense, that makes you meek and humble, and that's biblical. And as sheepdogs, who are we protecting? Right. So we cannot have anything derogatory about the sheep. Second kind of person is the wolf. The wolf is the bad guy. No matter who you are, where you're from, how much money you have, how much security you have, what kind of house you have, how many guns you have, how little guns you have, what church you go to, it doesn't matter. The wolves exist to prey on the sheep, right? And they're out there. Remember that verse, right? The lion is prowling like a roaring lion, right? Well, they're there, right? The last kind of person is the sheepdog. We discussed this. The sheepdog stands between the sheep and the wolf, right? So that's who we are. Now, people ask me, well, I'm not some kind of tactical master or whatever. Well, here's the deal. How many people here have children? Okay. When you held that baby for the first time, I'm sure that before that you had people in your life that you would die for, but I guarantee you when you held that baby for the first time, you found somebody you'd kill for. True? Exactly. That makes you a sheepdog. You're to protect those that can't protect themselves. Okay? Why is it that people need to fear the wolf but not the sheepdog when they have the same weaponry, taste for blood? Right? Why? Here's why. We're guided by the one true shepherd. That's why our logo has the cross, and it will never go away. That's why the sheepdogs are different from the wolves. We're guided by him, Jesus Christ. And trust me, I've been in some rooms where I've said Jesus' name, and I got some looks from people, right? But I'm not going to shy away from that. Okay, just a short bio on me, 35 years in Filipino martial arts, 20 years in firearms training as a student, 10 years in firearms training as an instructor. Those two overlapped because we have an old adage where we say sometimes we are an instructor, but we are always a student because we're always learning. The second you say, I don't have anything that I'm going to learn from these people, you immediately cut your growth. So I've been to 6 or 7 different firearms training schools that are open to civilians. Really good ones, SIG School, Glock School, Haley Strategic, Costa Ludus, Front Sight, Gun Sight. I've been to all of them, right? And I've done that simply because I don't ever want to stop learning, okay? And then I've been 7 years as a shooting analyst. That's actually 8 now. Shooting analyst. For one of the biggest firearms training companies in the world, Front Sight, it's 650 acres of firearms training in Nevada. I actually am the media director. I run a show called Reality Check. We have about 200,000 hits per time. We review real-world shootings, actual CCTV footage of real-world shootings, and we discuss what should have been done right or what was done wrong, so on and so forth. You can check it out, Front Sight Firearms Reality Check. Okay? Okay, Ezekiel 33. A friend of mine who is now the chaplain of Sheepdog Initiative gave me this verse. He said he had a dream, and he saw me armed, standing on a mountainside. Of course, he said I had guns, but, you know, this is just more awesome. He said you were standing on a mountainside and you had a trumpet, and it reminded me of Ezekiel 33. The verse basically says this, when, and this is God talking, so he's not saying if, he's saying when I bring the sword upon the land, my people will elect from among them a watchman. That watchman, when he sees the sword coming, he is to blow his horn to warn my people. If he doesn't blow his horn, then, and he sees the sword coming, my people's blood is on his hands. But if my people hear the horn and they do not take heed, their blood is on their hands. When Nico, our chaplain of Sheepdog Initiative, gave this to me, he said, you are the watchman. Here's my take on it. After today, I hope you're all watchmen. I hope you tell people about what we're doing. I hope you tell people about what's going on. Because the biggest crime on earth is not the evils of evil men. It's not the crimes of evil men. It's the indifference of good men. Okay? Mark that. All right. Human trafficking is the use of lies, manipulation, blackmail, force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of slave labor or commercial sex act. That way, if that's described by the Department of Homeland Security as that, we can separate human trafficking into two forms, sex acts and labor. Okay? Now, here's the thing. People know this. There's more labor human trafficking in the United States than anywhere else in the world. Why? Because people want to be here. Right? They're willing to suffer. They're willing to take less pay than what you would as a citizen. Because why? Here's why. I've lived in 4 countries. I've visited 26. I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that your worst day here is still the best day anywhere else. And people here take that for granted all the time. But it's the reason you have the most number of illegals. Otherwise, if this was such a terrible country, why are they fighting to get in here? Why do we have to build a wall? Right? Okay, so that being said, they're going to say there's a lot more labor trafficking than sex trafficking. Here's the problem. Even though that's true, okay, right, even though that's true, that the human trafficking victims for labor greatly outnumbers that of victims trafficked for sex, the number of times sex trafficking victims are used in a day are 20 times more than somebody used for labor. Why? Go over there, pick the garbage, sell it, whatever you make comes to me, and then you'll be able to eat and sleep tonight. Or you stay in this room, and whoever comes through that door is going to have sex with you. 20 times in one day. Okay? What are we going to learn? Statistics and facts about human trafficking on an international, national, and local level. And by local, I mean Texas. Okay? Specific evils we are facing, recognizing the signs, behaviors, and patterns of human trafficking victims and the traffickers themselves, and the resources available to you as private citizens to help rescue the victims of human trafficking and shedding light on the darkness. Okay? International stats. Number one, 40 million modern-day slaves exist in the world today. That's from Tim Ballard, Operation Underground Railroad. By the way, the facts and statistics that I'm going to talk about today, I have a resource sheet. My wife has them. If you want to research that yourself, you're welcome to grab one from her. It has all the links that you need. Okay? That's the truth. 40 million modern-day slaves exist in the world today. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world. It used to be the illegal arms trade. Human trafficking has surpassed that. Guess what? In a few years, human trafficking is going to surpass the drug trade. Okay, it's the second largest. This is the reason why the cartel has focused more on that and dropped the illegal arms trade. Okay, I was told when I said, there's many places we can go. We can go to the Philippines, my backyard. We can go to India, Thailand. We can go to South America. As soon as I said South America, a federale who was sitting in front of me said, you might want to reconsider that. I said, why? Because the minute you do a rescue in a house in South America, you are making enemies with the cartel, and they will come and get you. That's actually a more important question that I asked my wife before I asked her to marry me. I said, I'm going to be making some very bad enemies. Are you still willing? She said, yes. So I was more proud of that yes than... Anyway, they're estimated to have $150 billion in 2019. There's going to be $300 billion in 5 years. $300 billion. You want me to give you an idea on how much that is? That's more than Hollywood. You know how much silence that kind of money will buy? A lot of people ask themselves, why? How come we've never heard of this? Well, there's why. How many people have they silenced? How do I know that? Epstein didn't kill himself. All right? It's the truth. In 2006, there were 5,808 prosecutions and 3,160 convictions throughout the world, which means for every 800 people trafficked, only one person was convicted. 800 to 1. If there are 40 million trafficking victims existing in the world today and the ratio of traffickers is 800 to 1, then it's safe to assume that 9,102 traffickers that were convicted corresponded to 7,281,600 victims being rescued, assuming they didn't return to that life. Do you think that was how many people were rescued? No. It's not logical, right? It is estimated that the child is abducted and trafficked every 30 seconds. That is over 1 million children a year. So in the time we've been talking here, how many children have been abducted? Quite a few. Exactly. So this whole thing, 40 million, 9,000 traffickers. If you've never heard what a drop in a pond sounds like, you just heard it. That's what it is. 80% of this worldwide multi-billion dollar industry of human trafficking is funded by American men. That's from Tim Ballard, Operation Underground Railroad. This is the stat that changed my life when I was praying to God about Sheepdog Initiative. What is it that you want me to do? Bing! I got an email. Email is from Tim Ballard. This stat brought me to my knees crying. I walked across the hall to my landlord, and I gave him my 30-day notice from my media company office on Main Street because I needed to quit. Why? This is unacceptable. American men, it didn't say men, it said American men. That's you. That's me. In the greatest country in the world that I decided to move here and move my life from the Philippines, that's the stat that I get? No. Unacceptable. Okay? Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 19:14. Imagine that. The children. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Right? "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Matthew 18:5-6. Let me take you back to what I said earlier. Remember I was saying I had a really itchy trigger finger and I wanted to do something myself? One of the things that changed my mind was a talk that Tim Ballard gave. And he said, we have to take care of the traffickers. I'm sorry, what? No, we're there to take care of the children. He must have made a mistake. That's absolutely wrong. Nope. He said, I'm going to say it again. We have to take care of the traffickers. Why? He said, imagine yourself, your whole life, from the time that you were abducted, the only thing you know is anybody that comes through there is going to rape you, have sex with you, and then afterwards, I'm going to feed you and take care of you. Okay, you grew up in that. What's the next logical step? Upper management. The traffickers are victims too. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, that who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great..." These traffickers are pulling these children into the deepest, darkest hell on earth that you can find. Okay? What's going to happen to them, you think? Do I want to kill somebody who is actually a victim? Who actually grew up in this? Who know nothing but these horrors, and in order for them to go to the next step in life, they have to become upper management. Right? It's a contradiction, isn't it? National stats, there are at least 200,000 children that are trafficked for commercial sex every year in the United States. That's into and out of. What's out of? Here's what out of is. Here's my phone. Here's my camera. Here's my phone. For all you know, I'm filming you or taking pictures of you. Right? These international traffickers will come to your local park, the mall, wherever you frequent with your kids. Take pictures, go home to a house that is rented under a fictitious business with internet that's also basically put under that fictitious business name. And the only thing there is the computer and a bed, right? They're going to post all of this onto an encrypted website. That website is a bidding site. And some person from, I don't know, let's say the Middle East, for example, will bid on an exotic blonde-haired, blue-eyed child. What's the bidding start at? Roughly around 500,000. It's said that you have 48 hours to get somebody out or find somebody who's missing, correct? You've heard of that term, 48 hours. You have 48 hours. After that, their chances go low, right? For a child that's been abducted, you have 5 hours. 500,000 will buy you a private plane ride out of the country into South America and so on and so forth and still have a lot left over, especially if you fill up the plane, right? 200,000. 2016, the National Center on Missing and Exploited Children, or NCMEC, I don't know if you guys have heard of that, received 8.2 million reports 8.2 million in 1 year, okay? Most of which related to parent-child sexual abuse images, but it also included cases of online enticement, child sex trafficking, and child sexual molestation. Tim Ballard said 80% of this is from American men. You know where it starts? Child porn. We create the demand. We create the demand for this hell on earth. Okay? A report published by the Institute on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault at the University of Texas found that 77% of local state leaders and officials perceive human trafficking as rare or non-existent in their communities. The people that are supposed to be doing the trafficking, the prosecutions on traffickers, do not believe it exists. Okay? Doesn't exist. This is in Lexington, Kentucky. This girl fell out of the back of a Volkswagen, completely bound by duct tape, gorilla tape, actually, that had been on for her for, I don't know, a week or so. They hadn't taken it off. She was raped, beaten. Okay?
Hey!
They coming, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey.
You need a rag or something.
Y'all too tough.
This
people
are sick.
Hey, get us something over
here.
Just get some more.
Oh, my God.
That's all that. A roll of toilet paper in the car.
Let's bring people together.
You know, Keith, leave that on there. They might have to stitch it. They might have to stitch that.
She was banned. Tape, duct tape, mouth, and everything.
Okay, but here's the whole thing. You shouldn't have touched.
Okay, you shouldn't have touched. Why? The tape was peeling her skin off. Okay? You shouldn't have touched. The tape was peeling her skin off. They have not caught these people. Okay? You want to see how fast this happens? Here's how fast. This is a restaurant in Gauteng, South Africa. Jumps over. There's the counter. You can see that. 4 seconds. If that waiter didn't grab that guy, that waiter who knows apparently a little bit of MMA, didn't grab that guy in 5 seconds, that woman would have lost her child. I mean, if you think it's easy to lose a child here, imagine South Africa. Right? There you go. It would have happened in 5 seconds. Okay? This is the next clip. All right, so this is a Dollar General store in Florida. That guy that you just saw in the front of the screen is about to abduct a teenager or attempt to abduct a teenager, broad daylight, with her mom right in front of her. Okay? There's the counter. It started because they're upper on the upper right-hand corner. He's dragging, literally playing tug-of-war with mom and the daughter. 20 seconds. 20 seconds. What's the standard response time of police officers in the United States? 10 minutes. That's a standard response. 20 seconds. Okay? This one, and the next one, I think, is in a mall. Moms, beware. Do not walk with your toddlers behind you. Because you can see that guy decided to offer her some candy, broad daylight, in front of the mom. And he's taking the baby away. I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I would never have let him go as easily. She had a lot of grace, this lady had a lot of grace, but that guy would have been probably beaten to a pulp. If it was my child, or my niece, my nephew, heck, one of my friend's kids, there would be a problem there. This was a mobile phone store. She left her daughter over here at the gumball machine to turn and try to pay her bill. Watch this. 1, 2, 3 seconds. Now, they got her back. They got her back. But if they didn't, that would have been 3 seconds. This is in Queensland, Australia. Okay? This guy over here, Sterling Free, decided to tell this little girl that to just simply go up to her and go, follow me, and begins to walk out of the store completely confident that she is, in fact, following him. Walked out of the store with her. Her mom was in that store, by the way. Okay? She wasn't paying attention. She was in condition white. Right? There they are, leaving, and then right there is the last image of the 7-year-old girl before this pedophile predator brought her to a nearby bushland to rape her. That's the bushland. After that, what does he do? He brings her back to the mall and drops her off to her frantic mom. There she is, walking into the mall. Now, some of these kids are not as lucky. Okay? This is Cherish Periwinkle. The case of Cherish Periwinkle. Do some research. Check her out. Okay? Basically, the guy that you see over here, this gentleman is the predator. Okay? That's Cherish. All right? She was abducted, raped, and murdered. This is Donald Smith. Okay? All right. So, what happened was, that's Cherish, by the way. All right? What happened was, they were shopping in a Dollar General store, her mom, her sisters, and her. And they didn't have enough money to buy what they needed, and this guy offered to buy it for them at Walmart with a gift card. While they were there, he said, Cherish, why don't you come with me? We're going to go to McDonald's and get some food for everybody. But he didn't go to McDonald's. He left. So around 8 p.m., Rain, her mom, Cherish, and her two younger sisters went shopping. So that's the story, right? At 10:30, Smith offered to get them cheeseburgers at the store's McDonald's and convinced Cherish to go with him. However, the surveillance footage shows that they walked out of the store instead, which was the last time Cherish was seen alive. About half an hour later, the police were called. She made a police report. The next morning, they found her body in the creek behind Highlands Baptist Church. It is believed that Smith had bound her in the back of his van where she was sexually assaulted and strangled to death. So many things could have been done to avoid this. But these predators, like I said, they exist. Okay? Local statistics, Texas. 20% of all trafficking victims in the U.S. travel through Texas, usually on the Interstate 10 corridor. There's about 240,000 trafficked into and out of the United States. What's that? 20% of that? Almost 50,000 kids? 50,000 kids are trafficked into and out of the United States through Texas Interstate 10. How far is Interstate 10 from here? Okay, that makes it our backyard. That's on us. 244,000 workers are victims of labor trafficking in Texas, while traffickers exploit approximately $600 million from these victims every year. Okay? That's from UT. Okay? There are 79,000 victims of youth and minor sex trafficking in Texas at any given time. 79,000 kids in Texas are being trafficked for sex at any given moment. Okay? There were 74 active criminal human cases in Texas, while a total of 45 defendants were convicted of human trafficking in 2019. 79,000 at any given moment. 50,000 through the I-10. 45 defendants were convicted. There's another drop in the pond. The evils we face. One is the commercial sex industry. We know what that is. Easy. Easy peasy, right? By the way, one of the things that you should know is that these children that are being trafficked for sex, some of them, none of them are willing, but some of them are doing it to survive because they're homeless. They're on the street, right? 80% of them were runaways, okay? Slave labor industry, that's easy to say, right? So this is labor trafficking includes situations of debt bondage, forced labor, and involuntary child labor. Right? Labor traffickers use violence, threats, lies, and other forms of coercion to force people to work against their will. So this is from the human trafficking hotline, but the truth of the matter is this, I know this because I come from a third world country. Some of them are doing it willingly, again, to survive, just like the sex trafficking. Why? Well, I'm not going to, I could probably earn maybe, what, how many dollars a day in my hometown in Mexico or whatever, right? 10, 15? Over here, I'm making 100. Yeah, it's less than the guy that they pay $250 for, but I'm making $100, right? Okay. Organ harvesting. I'm going to give you a second to read those words again. Organ harvesting, okay? If a child is stolen for sex every 30 seconds, imagine this, a pop-up for organ harvesting, pop-up, it's a pop-up tent, okay? Where people go in and never come out sounds like a premise for a horror movie, but it's a real-life nightmare for people who are tricked by organ harvesters and brutally murdered. Operation Underground Railroad has been working to find these hospitals and rescue people, posing as hospitals, by the way, and rescue people before they can become organ harvesting victims. People struggling in poverty are often lured into the promise of money in exchange for a kidney, right? But they're to be strapped to a table where all their organs are removed without anesthetic. This is from Tim Ballard, Operation Underground Railroad, former Homeland Security. Okay? That's an evil. Baby factories, black market baby trade. Yeah, you read that right. Okay? The women freed from the baby factories had been abducted and held in captivity for the purpose of getting them pregnant and selling the babies. That's from Newsweek. Indonesian police say they have broken up a child trafficking operation that was allegedly buying and selling babies on Instagram. Yeah, that's real. You heard that right. I've seen the videos. Okay? Buying and selling on Instagram. Chinese police bust four major baby trafficking rings, rescuing 382 abducted infants and arresting nearly 2,000 suspects. 382 abducted infants for sale on the black market baby trade. Recognizing the key indicators that a child is being preyed on or sex trafficked. Trust me when I tell you this, none of these factors are always by themselves. Okay? None of these factors are always by themselves. But they do exist. All right? Does a person appear disconnected from family, friends, community, organization, houses of worship? Right? How does a wolf hunt? What's separated from the flock? Right? Has a child stopped attending school? Well, my foster mom and dad are selling me for sex. I don't need to go to school. This is the only life I'm worthy of because the people that love me, that are supposed to love me the most, don't care about me. Has the child had a sudden change and a dramatic change in behavior? Yeah, that's a big deal, right? Well, it could be the terrible teens, but still requires a talking to, doesn't it? Has the child suddenly started dressing provocatively, getting tattoos or wearing flamboyant jewelry? You're beautiful. People think I'm ugly. People tease me about being fat. No, you're beautiful. You're sexy. Here, let me buy you some clothes. But you have to do something for me. Okay. Does the child suddenly have possession of refillable gift cards? Traffickers love to use refillable gift cards. Okay. Does the child have bruises in various stages of healing? So this particular one, it could be, the child could be accident prone, or the child could just be being physically abused by a member of the family. Either way, it's probably still a good idea to check. Isn't it? Does the child have multiple phones? Right? Oh, I'm going to monitor all your social media. Okay, well, my pimp is going to buy me a phone. Okay? Does the child seem to have someone they have to check with? Well, standard, right? Standard predator victim mentality. Right? What predators prey on? All of this. Homeless, poverty, poor family relations, abuse. Anything that will make the child feel unworthy, and then they make them feel worthy, is a hook. Okay? What you can do. Number one, what we need is prayer. Absolutely prayer. And I can attest to the power of prayer. I never thought it would happen, but our investigations that we're going to talk about has led to the investigations of several people in town, in Pastrop. And one of them was arrested. Okay? Prayer. Please pray for us, for the success of what we do. The second is talk about it. This, right here, right now, I told you earlier, you're all sheepdogs, you're my brothers and sisters, right? If you mention this to somebody else and you get me into a room, even with four people, I'll show up. I'll show up. Yeah, we take love offerings, but there's nothing required. I never require any. I will show up and talk about this, okay? Because this is part of our ministry, getting people informed. Help me, okay? Education, free lectures like this, or training. If you train with Sheepdog Initiative for anything, get your license to carry, defensive handgun 1, 2, 3, and 4, rifle, shotgun, whatever it is, the money that you put into Sheepdog Initiative goes to fight this ministry. I mean, goes to fight this evil through our ministry. Okay? You don't want to fight our ministry. We're trying to. Anyway. If you see something, say something. Any of those indicating factors. If you see it, say it. If you're wrong, oh well. But what if you're right? Okay? Use your resources. We're going to talk about that now. Like I said, there's resources in that sheet that's with my wife. But one of the things you should know is recognizing the symbols and culture. This picture comes from the FBI website. Okay? This symbol here means boy lover. That means little boy lover. That means child lover. And that means girl lover. Okay? These are pedophilic symbols. Okay? If you see them, say something. Okay? It's from the FBI website. This is a tweet, right? We're all different on the inside. This is from Clover Gender, right? We're all different from the inside. Trans age, age fluid, LGBT. I don't even want to try to pronounce that. Love is love. So that's a guy, right, who believes he's a little girl, and therefore it's okay for him to love a little boy. Okay? This poster says on top, Pedophiles are people too, and underneath it says, because love is love. That is a poster that was found in Oregon and Austin. Okay? Trolls. Some of those symbols, by the way, were found on this toy. Okay, watch this.
About when it comes with a little comb. So, I mean, she does all that. You touch her tummy, and she makes little singing sounds, and she's super cute. Well, I was showing her to my husband, and I heard some other sounds that I had never heard before. And if you look down here, I figured a video was the best way. So I just touched her tummy, and she's going to sing for a minute. But down here is a button right here on her privates. And if you push those, she makes these sounds. Like a gasping sound. And I know that some of you may not like think this is a big deal, but especially since I've had kids, like, this is wrong. For one, this button, it says nothing about this button on the box. Nothing. It's just...
I went to Walmart because I knew this old Trolls. Trolls is a Disney movie, by the way. I went to our Walmart, Bastrop Walmart, and I found wall-to-wall, both sides, this particular troll. I pulled one out of the box, and I said to myself, this has got to be a fake. That might have been just like one or two that were out there. Nope, they were all like that. I called the manager, and I told him, you have 10 minutes to remove this. If you don't, I'm going to blast this on social media. Either way, all of the people I talk to about human trafficking and child exploitation are going to find out that you had this on your walls. You have 10 minutes. They cleared it. I told them, I don't want to hear a reason. I don't want to hear what your reason is. Get it done. And they did in 10 minutes. You see something, you say something. They cannot stop us. They can't. Okay? Or you can have toys that are transvestite toys. Okay? Here's the deal. Children's curiosity has nothing to do with lewdness or being perverts. But what's the first thing a child is going to do, especially like, let's say, a little boy that sees a doll of a little girl? They're curious. They want to find out what's underneath. Do they look like us? Do they look like something else? What are they going to do? This is an actual social media site. I thought at first when I looked at it, I'm like, you know what, maybe I have to become a member. They have to clear me. No, it's open. Okay, it's called rape.su. I drove by the local elementary school Tuesday, two girls, 6 and 9. I've been watching these exact girls for 33 days now. And he goes on to say how he tricked them into the car with a bouncy ball. And now he's asking people on the same social media platform, do you want to come and help me rape them? Should I rape her? Shows a picture. Everyone else says, damn, she's so cute. Looks like you know what your answer is, so on and so forth. Does anyone want to come and help me? Okay. Hashtags are hunting tools. These hashtags, everybody know what hashtags are? They're little, if you put the hashtag sign and you put a word right beside it on Instagram or Facebook, it then allows a whole bunch of other people to find that particular post, right? Anybody who's sharing the same interests. Well, these are the number one hashtags that people in the United States use today. Bath time, potty training, naked baby, teen bikini, right? Mall time, whatever. These are also the number one hashtags the child sex predators use to hunt your children down. They will find you geographically. You put a hashtag on any post on social media, right? You put your post, oh, I'm having fun with my baby, so on and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Hashtag potty training or hashtag baby bath time. You click submit. Now, anybody that wants to search for something in the search bar types in teen bikini or bath time, naked baby. They type it hashtag naked baby. Your post will show up. What can they do then? They will find you geographically. What are they going to do next? Oh, this baby, you know, they're filled with perversion, right? So now they're up to a feverish pitch. They're going to find you. Try to rape your baby. Okay, for lack of a better term. Good news, Operation Not Forgotten, 39 missing children found in Georgia. Operation Reclaim and Rebuild, Stanislaus County, California. All these people that you see here are joint operations. Some of them are foster parents, and some of them work for Child Protective Services. And they had a ring where they were selling the babies for sex. Okay? Operation Safety Net, U.S. Marshals rescued 25 children from Ohio. This kid, Bryce Gage Watkins, filmed himself sexually molesting a baby and posted it on Instagram. And Instagram allowed it. Apparently, it didn't go against their procedures. So they hunted him down. They took him down. And guess where he was found? Cordero Drive, San Marcos. Guess what? Yeah. Oh. I wanted to mention Wayfair. Everybody know about the issue with Wayfair? Selling furniture, but like a dresser for like $15,000 or whatever, but it actually corresponds to the name of a child. My problem with it is I wanted to present to you guys solid concrete proof, and I haven't found any. But there's more than maybe 30 people in my life that have told me, no, it's true. No vouch about it. So that's another one. Wayfair is another company. Amazon? I wouldn't put it past them. This guy was captured by Texas Rangers, right? Thank God for the Texas Rangers. But he went all the way from wherever he was, which was, I think, in the West Coast, and he made it to San Marcos. Does that look like something that Instagram condemned? I wouldn't put it past them at all. Thank you for that question, whoever that was. Oh, we're going to have a fundraiser. Guns N' Roses is like a basic class for women, right? It'll also give you a 50% discount on our LTC class. But we're going to have a fundraiser. So it's like, I think it's like $50 per person. And you come in and you basically receive the training. And basic handgun marksmanship, manipulations, all that. By the time you're done with it, you'll know everything you need to know to be safe at home. Somebody said yesterday, is it only for women? Well, we can do something for the men, but it's not going to be called Guns N' Roses. It's going to be Guns and Guns. No, whatever it might be. But you know us. Okay, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to bring this movie here. Yes? We have defensive handgun 1, 2, 3, and 4. And yes, you can absolutely do that. Yeah, you can do it. You can train anything. You can train it over and over again if you want. I'm fine with that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And please spread the word, because I'm not going to limit that just to the church. I hope you don't mind. But I have a business card over there. My wife has them. Please feel free to grab them. This is a movie we're trying to bring here. We're trying to get the funds for it. It's called The Sound of Freedom. It is the real-life story of Tim Ballard. It is played by Jim Caviezel, who not only gave all of the money he received from it back into Operation Underground Railroad, but he literally helped pay for the expenses for this movie. Okay, I love Jim Caviezel. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy that played Jesus Christ in The Passion. Okay, a reporter asked him, aren't you afraid that you're going to commit Hollywood suicide because, you know, there's a bunch of people in Hollywood that are trafficking children, right? He goes, lady, I committed Hollywood suicide when I played Jesus. Do you think this is going to faze me? All right, so... This is not the movie, this is the trailer. Okay. Please!
I don't think I can do this job, Tim. As soon as I lay down, all you see are those kids' faces. How long have you been doing this?
12 years.
How do you do it?
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It has already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it's going to pass the drug trade.
Si no te mateo, tú rescatas niños, ¿verdad? Quizá puedas ayudarme a encontrar a mi hermana.
Imagine walking into a room right now, seeing an empty bed. What would we do? Children, stars drift
around in the sky. We're Homeland Security. You know we can't go off rescuing kids in Colombia.
This job tears you to pieces. This is my one chance to put those pieces back together. We're talking about extracting an 11-year-old girl from an army of rebels.
Not just her. I'm talking about rescuing hundreds of kids.
She could be a block down the road, or she could be in Moscow, Bangkok, L.A.
Over 2 million children a year are being sucked into the deepest recesses of hell. If we do nothing, someday it's going to reach the likes of you. What if this was your daughter?
What if that was your daughter? That's the question he asked us. Sound of Freedom. Yep. So I'm trying to bring it here. It's already made. It's just funding and whether or not we can get the permits to do it, because Hollywood fights this sort of thing. Okay. So unfortunately, I'm out of time, so I'm just going to briefly tell you one more thing that we're doing, the last ministry. As I said, I'm a media guy, and I'm going to use it against child sex predators. What we're doing is we're creating fake profiles of children. We're using people who are over 21, and the first person that volunteered is my wife. And I'm going to retouch her to make her look like she's an 11-year-old. I'm going to create fake profiles. With cooperation with Bastrop law enforcement, we are going to bait these predators, and we're going to sting them, and then we're going to make the arrest. Okay? So we appreciate everything. I'm sorry I went over a little bit. Please stay in touch with me. We have a sign-in list over there. If you want to give me your email, contact information, take a card. Follow us on Facebook. It will really help us out. And then, yeah, like I said, if you want to come to our fundraisers, we'd really, really love to have you. Thank you so much, guys. Yes. Yes, sir. Well, the biggest investors in it are the owners of the porn companies, right? Companies like Vivid, Penthouse, that sort of thing. Have they made any arrests? Not really. Right, not really. But the people that we hunt down will normally have child porn on their computers, and even that is enough to convict them. Child porn is where it starts. Trump is the only president that has given $75 million from his own money to help fight this. And it was Tim Ballard who talked to him about it. So, yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But does that mean I'm going to stop? No. If they want to stop me, they're going to have to come in and try and stop me, and I'm going to fight them. I don't know. I hope it doesn't. But here's the deal. That depends on you. People like you. That depends on people like you. Thank you so much, everybody. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that presentation, Miguel. I know that's pretty powerful. I want to see that movie. Yeah, so I really appreciate that information. I know that's pretty hard to take, but we need to understand these things. We need to know what is real, what's going on in the world. Our scripture of the week is very appropriate, given what we were just learning about. Let's go ahead and read this together. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. All right, we just learned about some wicked schemes, didn't we? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That does not mean, Miguel's talking about, there are things that we can do. It does not mean that you cannot do some things in the meantime. But ultimately, as believers, we're putting our trust in God. I know Miguel does. I know that's part of that ministry. He's counting on God to be the one who is able to help that ministry to succeed. And he's trusting completely in that. What part of what this is talking about is what comes in verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. That's where Miguel was when he was in his dark depression. Right? He wanted to go out and kill every single one of these guys. Right? He did. He wanted to go out and kill every single one of these guys. And you can see why. You can see why. But ultimately, he was here in verse 8. But he ended up in verse 7, resting in the Lord and trusting Him to guide him in what he's doing, because he knows that verse 9 is true. Evildoers will be cut off. But it says here, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Well, that's talking about a specific situation. But those who wait for the Lord, they will succeed. So this Miguel gave a perfect example. He was in verse 8. He wanted to go and kill these guys. But instead, ultimately, he turned his eyes to the Lord, and the Lord directed him to a ministry that's a powerful ministry. Again, he's a fantastic trainer in firearm safety and all the things that he talked about. But his mission is to put an end to this. And I believe it was important for us to all hear about that. Let me go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Miguel. I thank you for Sheepdog Initiative. I thank you for the presentation today, the opportunity to see these things. I thank you that even though we have a little bit of a glimpse of this horrible evil, ultimately, Father, we turn our eyes to you. We know that you are in control. I pray that you will put your hand of blessing upon his ministry, Sheepdog Initiative, that you will indeed allow it to have success in terms of stopping these people. Father, I pray also that the congregation here today will join together, if no more than in prayer. That's powerful if we pray for Sheepdog Initiative. But Father, I pray that we can also understand and carry out whatever else it is that you have that we might be able to do to help Sheepdog Initiative with what their mission is. Father, again, I thank you and I praise you for who you are. In Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name I pray. Amen. I'm not even sure it seems appropriate, but we are going to close in a final hymn.